Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, recently died at age 93. Though O'Connor generally was considered a court moderate, she was a decisive swing vote in favor of preserving so-called abortion rights, including the January 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, a judicial abomination with, yes, no basis whatsoever in the U.S. Constitution. Since the announcement of O'Connor's death, I've received emails asking how Ronald Reagan, as a pro-life president, could have appointed O'Connor, given that Reagan wanted pro-life justices on the high court. The answer is that Reagan thought he had a pro-lifer in O'Connor, just as he also thought he had a pro-lifer in Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is a still greater disappointment to Reagan. Kennedy wrote the majority decision in the 1992 Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which preserved and extended Roe, and on which he was joined by O'Connor. The Casey in that decision was Pennsylvania's late great pro-life Democrat governor, Bob Casey Sr. So yes, President Reagan failed terribly on these two of his three Supreme Court picks. For the record, one of Reagan's three picks, Antonin Scalia, turned out to be a superb choice. All of this begs the question, how did Sandra Day O'Connor get by President Reagan and his advisors on the abortion issue? Was she not vetted properly? Did no one ask her the hard questions about where she stood in protecting the unborn child's right to life? The answer was apparently no, they didn't. Unfortunately, this is something that I learned from Reagan's most important advisors, the late William P. Clark. I was Clark's biographer as well as close friend. Moreover, I'm a Reagan biographer, having published 8 books on the man. So I know the inside story too well. And I know that Reagan and his closest advisors failed to adequately vet O'Connor and ask her the hard, crucial questions that they needed to ask her. They did not find out where she stood on abortion or Roe v. Wade. And thus, she was free, nominated, and on her way. On September 25th, 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor was sworn in as the newest Associate Justice of the Supreme Court and the first woman on the High Court. By and large a moderate, O'Connor proved not moderate on abortion, where she was a crucial swing vote in ensuring that there would be no limits placed on America's runaway policy of abortion on demand. And that was painfully obvious in that 1992 case, Planned Parenthood v. Casey. There, once again, O'Connor teamed up with Anthony Kennedy to ensure yet more decades of Roe. When Justice Bill Clark read Anthony Kennedy's absurd mystery clause in the Casey ruling, which justified abortion and much more, he was sickened by it. He couldn't believe it. In an infamous statement that was utterly contrary to the thinking of the American founders, not to mention Kennedy's church, biblical and natural law, and frankly, logic itself, Kennedy proclaimed this bold new definition of freedom. Quote, at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life, unquote. Think about what that means. That means that every individual can conceive his or her own definition of life, not to mention of marriage, gender, existence, meaning, and well, everything, even meaning. That thinking led to many bad decisions by the likes of Kennedy and O'Connor. Because of them, the abortion movement continued to win, at least until June 2022 with the Dobbs decision, when a heroic Justice Samuel Alito and fellow allies committed to life, such as Justices Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, and Clarence Thomas, at last rejected the constitutional abomination that was Roe v. Wade. Those were justices of conviction. Sure. Sandra Day O'Connor made some good decisions in her days on the bench, but her rulings on abortion certainly were not among them. For many of us, she will be remembered less as the first woman on the high court than for her crucial swing vote for abortion, a vote that prolonged Roe and its millions of abortions for decades more to come. For American Radio Journal, I'm Paul Kengor. Thanks for listening.